Well, I was a part of a leadership institute over the last year for pastors called the Reynolds Program, and it provided a wonderful experience of learning and growing for me. And the very first day that we were there, they put up on the screen a quote that was really memorable, and I wrote it down, and this is what it said. It said, "When I reach the next world, God will not ask me, 'Why were you not Moses?' Instead, God will ask me, 'Why were you not blank?'" We were supposed to put in our name there. Point made loud and clear, right? All of us are called to be leaders. And the best way to become a leader is to become more fully ourselves. To start with our own gifts and our own abilities and our own limits, and then to grow from there. And because we are all called to lead by virtue of simply existing and living and breathing on this planet and by being followers of Jesus, it's important for us to lead well and authentically and in Christ-like, life-giving ways. So we're in a sermon series right now looking at what it means to confront within ourselves the shadows or the lies we might believe sometimes in order to embrace the light or the truths out of which we should lead. When we do that, we lead as ourselves, the selves that God made and desires. So far, we've talked about confronting the shadow that says we are what we do and what we achieve in order to lead from the light that says we are who God says we are and who God's grace makes us. And last week, Tim shared a wonderful message about confronting the shadow that says this world is a war we must fight and win in order to lead from the light that says God provides in abundance and we can live in harmony together. Today we face and confront the shadow of it all depends on me, in order to lead instead from the light of abiding in Christ and mutuality with others. Let us pray. Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here. Open our hearts and minds to your word for us this day. We pray that it would take root there, that it would grow us, that it would transform us, that we might live for you and bear fruit for your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Listen for God's word. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. He removes any part of my branches that don't produce fruit, and he trims any branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already trimmed because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch can't produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm guessing that most of us have been parents of toddlers, are parents of toddlers, or have had some experience with toddlers. If I had to encapsulate the toddler in one scene, it would be a toddler pulling over a kitchen chair to the counter where a bowl of cereal has already been poured, grabbing hold of the milk carton that has the top off, while mom or dad quickly rushes over to remove the milk carton from the death grip of the toddler, who suddenly begins to cry and scream, "No, I can do it by myself." Right? Now, as toddlers, that's a normal part of development, realizing their own agency, wanting to test their abilities and see what they can do. However, if we're really honest with ourselves, as adults, sometimes we live and we lead from similar spaces, except we take it up a notch. It's not just, "I can do it all by myself." Instead, it's, I must do this by myself. Or it all depends on me. We're not holding on to a milk carton with a death grip, but we're holding on to other things with white knuckles, thinking it's all up to us. This is what Parker Palmer calls the shadow of functional atheism. That's an eye-opening phrase, isn't it? Functional atheism. Functional atheism is believing that God exists, saying that Jesus is Lord, but behaving as if God doesn't exist and Jesus is not Lord. Palmer defines it as the unconscious, unexamined conviction that if anything decent is going to happen around here, we are the ones who must make it happen. This is the lie we believe that makes ourselves into lowercase g God. This is claiming to believe in God, but then acting like everything depends on us and our efforts and our strength and our wisdom and our ability to keep our concerns perfectly orbiting around the sun that is our own interior control freak. The result? A pathological cancer of control at every level of our lives. When we lead from this shadow, friends, we impose our will on others, including our kids. We strain our relationships. We get burned out. We experience disappointment and despair, maybe even depression when things don't go our way or something is out of our control and we realize the world does not bend to our will. We may harbor resentment at people that we think are not doing their part when ironically they don't feel empowered to do so because of the shadow we're casting. Think about what this means for our coworkers or our neighbors or our church mates or our kids or whatever context we lead in. If we're burned out from trying to do it all, our loved ones aren't getting our best selves. If we're controlling others and everything, others aren't able to be their best selves. When we're running on empty because we're trying to control and do everything, we know what happens. We don't have the love. We don't have the energy. We don't have the focus to live in Christ-like ways. How can we love our neighbor well on empty? How can we lead our kids or our friends toward Jesus on fumes? How can we make disciples or do justice or love mercy when we are totally gassed or trying to do everything ourselves? We lash out at our kids or our spouse. We hurry into our house to avoid the conversation with our neighbor. If we're leading like it all depends on us, we're not empowering for the people we lead. There's no empowerment for them. There's not a sense of team or trust cultivated. Instead, we foster in our workplaces and in our homes and in our schools and in our teams and our churches a culture of mistrust, of inadequacy, of disempowerment, of paranoia, of burnout that only feeds the lie that it all depends on us. This is the leader who refuses to delegate. This is the one who's allergic to asking for help, that doesn't trust others to do the work or empower and equip them. This is the environment void of diverse ideas and broader creative thinking from other created and gifted people. This shadow also creates that frenzied sense of pace that, oh my goodness, if we're not doing something, if there is not noise, then nothing good is happening or everything is just getting ready to collapse or fall apart. This is, there's nothing else I can do. All I can do now is pray. Have you ever experienced someone leading from that shadow? Have you ever led from that shadow, from that place? Functional atheism? I know I have before. This shadow probably hits close to home for most of us. This is not the kind of leader God calls us to be. This is not the kind of life Jesus invites us to live as his followers. This is what we might call a branch that produces, this is what we might call trying to be a branch that produces fruit apart from being connected to the vine. Jesus tells us what it looks like to lead from the light. It means being a branch relying on the vine that is Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch can't produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. Now for Israel, a grapevine was an important national symbol. It was a prominent metaphor in the Old Testament. Lots of passages speak of Israel as being God's vine or God's vineyard. Psalm 80, you brought a vine out of Egypt and planted it. Or Isaiah 5, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. So when Jesus stands before his disciples and says, he is the vine, he's telling them that he is connected to Israel's source of strength. And that by being connected to him and abiding in him and depending on him and not their own strength and might, they are also connected to that ultimate source of strength and power. Abiding, staying connected to, depending on Jesus is how they will bear fruit, is how they will be successful leaders, continuing on Jesus's mission and ministry. This illustration, this teaching comes near the end of Jesus' ministry. He knows his time on earth is coming to a close. He has already promised them the gift of the Holy Spirit and anticipates the time when his disciples would be carrying on his mission. And so he also knows if there was ever going to be a time when the disciples would be most tempted to live and lead out of the shadow that says it's all up to us now, it would be when he's no longer physically with them. He's already promised them that they will do far greater things than he did. They will bear much fruit, but the far greater things, the fruit will only come from abiding, from connecting themselves, depending on Jesus. They are the branches, not the vine or the vineyard keeper. Their source of strength and power and wisdom and guidance will flow from the vine. But after all, the fruit of a vine or a tree is the result of the power and nutrients that come from the roots and the trunk and the vine, the stalk, or whatever it is. If the fruit is picked, the branch doesn't die. A branch is cut off from the vine or tree, however, it begins to wither away because it's lost its source of power. Leading from the light means declaring our dependence upon God in every part of our life. It means staying connected to Jesus Christ, who is the vine. It means loosening our grip, hands on everything so that God can hold them instead. It means, in the prayer of one pastor I read this week, recognizing my strongman biceps are puny compared to what you, oh God, can bench press on a bad day with a migraine. It means just being able to be and be still and just take a breath and know that God is God and we're not. It means going to God, relying on God, trusting in God, involving God in our thinking, in our speaking, in our acting, and not just after the fact. And it also means mutual interdependence on others as well in community. Notice how Jesus says that he is the vine, his Father is the vineyard keeper, and we are the branches. All of those elements are essential for production. It all depends on connection. Jesus is the middle ground between us and God as the vine. And because we're supposed to be a part of the vine as branches, that means we're supposed to recognize our interdependency as branches. Think about a vine. Picture a vine in your head. Most vines that I've seen, branches are almost completely indistinguishable from one another. In other words, it's very difficult on a vine to determine where one branch ends and another branch starts. They all run together as they grow out of the vine. There are no single freestanding branches that produce all the fruit. It's the collective branches that make the vine fruitful. It's not just up to one branch to convert the sunlight into food and to bear all the fruit. It's multiple branches. Jesus' point is pretty clear. If we want to leave from the light, we must remember that we're a branch connected to a vine and therefore to other branches. In other words, we don't just need to stay connected to Jesus. That's important. And we must be willing to be connected in interdependent relationships with others. Bearing fruit, leading from the light, depends on dependence. Bearing fruit, leading from the light, has everything to do with who we're in relationship with who we bring on our team, with who we fill with a sense of trust and grace and empowerment, who feels like they have something important and special to contribute and offer. We don't need to carry the whole load, but can share it with others, liberating us and empowering others at the same time. Leading from the light means trusting in others and recognizing that other people are also capable and God-gifted and maybe even more knowledgeable and skilled than we are. We're not the only act in town. Other people's potential, their giftedness may just be dormant. And we have the chance, rather than just doing it ourselves, to lead and empower them to find their fruitfulness and their giftedness, and then together create something even better together. That casts light. That creates a team of trust. That empowers people. That brings diverse gifts and ideas to the table. That allows greater success and fruitfulness and possibility. That makes people feel valued and needed. That helps us not burn out. That helps us destroy the idol of self. That gives the vineyard keeper more to work with to bring about God's purposes and not just our purposes. That's what allowed Jesus' ministry to continue in and through the work of the people that he empowered and equipped and depended on for help. Yes, even Jesus Christ did not operate like it was all up to him. He constantly got strength and guidance from the Holy Spirit and spending time with his Heavenly Father in prayer. And he invited and he equipped and he empowered and he sent out disciples to help him in his mission. Jesus wasn't afraid to delegate. Jesus' disciples would have never had the chance to grow and bear fruit on the vine if Jesus had done it all himself. Friends, there are others around us who are doing their part. And our best leading will be accomplished through cooperative work with others. Look for other branches. Look at the people whose strengths and whose gifts, whose experiences complement yours. It all depends on me. No, it doesn't. You don't have to carry the whole load. You do not have to do it all by yourself. In fact, that's functional atheism, and it casts a long shadow. We do not own or control all the successes or failures of our families, of our businesses, of our churches. We are not responsible for knowing everything is going to work out and then laboring solo to try and make it a reality. We don't have to save the world or hold it all together. That's God's job. There is only one Savior, and it ain't us. We bear fruit, we lead from the light, not by squeezing it out ourselves, but only as connected branches to the vine that is Jesus Christ. So friends, let's be branches together, crying out with open hands, I can't do it all by myself.